Dear friends, I greet you in Jesus' name. Well, out of the frying pan and into the fire, that's the life of the Apostle Paul. As most of you know, our summer reading as a congregation has been the book of Acts. And now as we move into the month of August, we are nearing the end of that book. We're in the 11th installment out of 13. Paul has faced increasing opposition from his enemies, both from the Jewish community within, as well as from the Roman government without. And now he finds himself once more under arrest. He has been jailed many times, but now it is really serious. He faces a series of trials which will result in a life or death sentence. Today and next week, we will be watching Paul defend his faith, first before the Jews and then before the Romans. Although he is in deep tapioca, Paul remains remarkably unruffled. We have seen that wherever Paul goes, he seems to be a magnet for trouble. Riots just seem to spring up all around him. The air is tense. People get upset. We have read that Paul was warned not to go to Jerusalem because there he would be bound and handed over to the authorities. Nevertheless, Paul stays the course because that's where the Holy Spirit is leading him. Where does Paul get his confidence? Paul was one of the greatest missionaries ever known, perhaps even the greatest missionary. But while he often ran into trouble, he never lost his confidence in Christ. He had courage because of two particular promises that Jesus had made to him. First, that he must testify in Rome. So he knows he's going to get at least that far. And ultimately, Jesus has promised him resurrection, the hope of eternal life. Paul was a great missionary, and we have said that what is descriptive for Paul is prescriptive for us. So, if Paul was a missionary, does that mean we have to be missionaries too? I have used the word missionary several times in the pulpit, in the newsletter, and elsewhere. And when I do, I get several reactions. First, a certain distance. Distance, not because it isn't important, but because some people think, oh, that's not for me. That's for other people. I'm not a missionary. So, a certain distance. Another reaction is fear. Some people hear the word missionary and find themselves startled, like deer caught in the headlights. Who, me? A missionary? You mean like knocking on doors or bringing your Bible to Starbucks? Awkward. The thought can be scary. Not sure I can do that. And the third reaction is excitement. People who say, oh, can I be one too? Where do we go? When do I sign up? These are the people, for example, who have just come back from Mexico. They are so pumped. I'm in. And let me just say, I get all three reactions. There are no judgments here. I'm with you. So I want to neutralize the word missionary. The word itself comes with a lot of baggage, a lot of unintended expectations. So let's just wipe the slate clean, shall we? A missionary is not just someone who goes overseas or across a border. A missionary can be, and often is, a person who lives at home, in a normal neighborhood, has a normal job, and who knows Jesus. A missionary is simply a person who has a mission, who has something to do that God wants done. And that's it. That's it. It's in the DNA of every person who is a believer in Jesus. every person who has been grasped by the incredibly good news that in Christ they are now forgiven, that God has given them new hope, people who are now transformed by that hope, ordinary people like you and me. You are a missionary. Today we're talking about confidence. Confidence to share your faith. The same confidence Paul had to stand trial, to defend the gospel come what may. How can you find that confidence in Christ so that you can be that person who does not fear what other people fear, who is not afraid of what to say? Rather, you can be a person who is confident that Jesus is present and the Holy Spirit is in the driver's seat. You too can be centered on the hope of resurrection. You too can have the confidence that is available to every believer. So let's take a look at our text for this morning. There's a lot of common sense and simple strategy in Paul's defense. Note, first of all, that Paul knew his audience. Oh, he knew them really well. He understood the people he was addressing, and he identified himself with them. To the Jewish crowd, he identified himself as a Jew. To the Jewish leaders, he identified himself as a Jewish leader. To the Romans, he identified himself as a Roman citizen. Paul knew his audience. He identified himself with them. He used language they understood. So first, know your audience. Get to know them if you don't already. Secondly, Paul had a plan that was flexible enough to work in any situation. You remember that when he was in Athens, a place where there were many gods, he told them about the unknown God that some of them worshipped. Rather than chastise them for idol worship, he used the opportunity to tell them about something better, to tell them about the God they did not yet know. In other places, Paul just told them his own story. He does that a lot, about how Jesus met him on the road to Damascus, or about his travels, or about the people he met, the difficulties he endured. He told his own story. In our reading today, when the air was tense and people on edge, he made one single, clear statement of his hope in the resurrection. Paul connected with his audience in authentic ways. It's a simple plan. Connect in authentic ways. And third, Paul trusted God. Now, Paul ran into a lot of trouble, and this did not surprise him. Paul was a realist. By this time, Christianity had become very unpopular with the religious leaders in Jerusalem. They were real protective about their territory. They did not want to lose their law. They did not want to lose the temple. And they were afraid that the Romans would sense danger and come to cause them trouble. So Paul expected opposition, but he never lost confidence. He continued to trust that the Holy Spirit was leading him. He put his hope in Christ. He staked his life on it. Trust God. So know your audience, have a plan, trust God. That's Paul's strategy. That's what we find in our text today. As followers of Jesus, we are really in the same boat Paul was in 2,000 years ago. Christianity has lost its popularity in our world today. Many people are wary of evangelistic talk, and Christian talk in particular. They don't want to be evangelized. They do not want to be institutionalized, as in church. This is nothing new. Back in the 17th century, Blaise Pascal said, "Men despise religion. They hate it and are afraid that it might be true." The cure for this is first to show that religion is not contrary to reason, but worthy of reverence and respect. Next, make it attractive. Make good men wish it were true, and then show that it is true. Pascal wrote that some 500 years ago, and it still rings true for us today. So, in our religion-weary world, how do we get a fair hearing for the gospel? Again, we look to Paul and employ the same principles we have found in our readings for today. Know your audience, have a plan, trust God. Let's take a moment to zero in on that second point, on the plan. There are lots of ways to reach out to others for Christ. But I want to share with you a simple strategy that comes from a book by Lawrence Singlehurst called Sowing, Reaping, Keeping, People-Sensitive Evangelism. People-sensitive evangelism, I like that. And I'd like to focus on the sowing part, how to sow the seed, how to approach someone for Christ, how to get it started, how to be a missionary in everyday life. Singlehurst offers three simple steps, beginning with making a connection. I mean, it's just making a connection. That's it. You don't try to dump everything you know about Jesus on the first go-round. You begin by approaching people in a very common sense, laid-back way, because you already know that people don't want to be evangelized. They don't want to be a target. And rightly so. I mean, who would want that? People want real relationships. They want friends. And that's what God wants for us too, right? God is all about relationships with one another and with Him. So the first step is simply make a connection. You want to get to know your neighbor or coworker or that guy sitting next to you on the plane. You start with name, work, family. You know, you establish common ground. You identify with him. Oh yeah, I've been there. I know what you're talking about. Whatever. Be friendly. Listen to him. Most people like to talk about themselves. Don't just act interested. That's manipulation. Be interested. In this first step, you keep spiritual content to a minimum. If it comes up, be honest about your faith. You want neither to hide nor to hype your faith at this or at any point. You aren't playing a game of bait and switch. Your job here is just to open doors. See where the conversation leads. Generally speaking, your message is simply this: God is good. Christians are normal. That's it. As trust develops, you take the second step. It's simply a matter of developing the relationship you have begun. And as trust develops, you increase that spiritual content just a little. Make it personal. Maybe you invite him over for dinner, and you begin, as is normal for you, with a simple prayer. Or you comment on a movie you've both seen and you bring up some spiritual insight that has grabbed you. Like Paul, you might tell your own story. Just put it out there and see where the conversation goes. If the door closes, let it go. Wait until another time. And by the way, that next time might not be with you. It might be with some other Christian, and that's okay because you have done your job by planting a little seed. If the door opens, nudge it a little more. The general message is this: God is good, and He's important in my life. Trust is the bridge between steps. Let trust develop. And then step three is this: an experience or activity where your friend has direct access to God's presence and power. It might be Christmas Eve service, or it might be our monthly Wednesday evening service, or Ignite, or VBS, or a Bible study, or a mission trip. You invite your friend, you let him experience it, and then you talk about it. You let him experience what it feels like to be in God's presence, in God's sphere of influence. And then you talk about it. Experience first, explain later. The general message is this: God is good and His presence is real. My friends, this is really good missionary strategy. Christians are normal. He's important in my life. God's presence is real. That's the sowing part of sowing, reaping, keeping. And it's enough for today. It gives you a plan, one that is flexible and useful in many situations. And here's the bottom line: trust in God. If you hear nothing else today, hear this: God is trustworthy. You've all had experiences where you thought you knew somebody really well. Maybe somebody in your family, maybe even your spouse, your best friend. You knew them well, but they didn't react the way you expected. Or maybe you had a really good plan and you thought it was going to work, but it didn't work the way you thought it would. And then God just takes over. He does something you totally didn't expect, all for the better. God is at work. Put your trust in Him. You are not in control. He is. He wouldn't have called you into this if He didn't already have it all figured out. You can trust Him. Now, does that mean it's going to be easy? Not necessarily. Probably not. But it does mean that what God wants to accomplish, He will accomplish. His word will not return to Him empty. It will do what He intended. That's what the Bible says. That's why Paul was confident. That's why you can be confident. Know your audience. Have a plan. It's good advice. We see it playing out for Paul. But more than anything else, put your trust in God. It's His power, His presence, His love that is going to cause that seed you planted to sprout and grow. That's why you can be confident in Christ. That's what makes all the difference. Out of the frying pan, into the fire. Paul faced some real difficulties. He knew there would be opposition, and there was. It's the same for you and me. Don't be surprised if you run into a little opposition. Although I hope you won't be involved in any riots or get yourself imprisoned. For Paul, the difficulties were real, but his faith was never shaken. By staking his claim on Christ, he found a courage and a confidence born of something much bigger than himself. The same is true for you and me. Whatever the circumstances, you can be confident in Christ. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, You call us out to walk on the water with you. And sometimes we can see only the wind and the waves and we begin to sink. Oh Lord, keep our eyes focused on you. Help us to trust in you. And then send us out and help us to be part of your work. For we pray in your name. Amen.